Today's training is about the hidden costs in business, but also in life. The hidden cost in business is one in which so many people think they're going to be profitable, but end up either breaking even or losing money. So I want to elevate the awareness of the dummy tax that I've had, the hidden costs that we've had in business. Every business leader understands revenue. They understand expenses. They understand margins and cash flow. But so many people that I work with, their businesses appear to be healthy on paper, but quietly lose their value, interfere with their potential because of decisions driven by emotion rather than intention. Intention is what we do say, think, feel, and believe, and it doesn't lie. Financial statements do. They measure where our money goes, but they rarely explain why it goes there. I repeat that. It shows where money goes, but it doesn't show why it goes there. We've all seen companies generate millions and millions in revenue while making poor hiring decisions, overspending on initiatives, or missing valuable opportunities that will move the needle exponentially. Not because they lack resources, but because the interfering fears, the edging goodness out, the ego, urgency, or scarcity will influence their decisions. The greatest expenditures in business isn't always financial. It's emotional. It's the energy that they put in motion. When we learn to manage our emotional expenditure, what I call the EMOX, emotional expenditure, EMOEX, every financial decision becomes clearer, more intentional, and more profitable. And if anybody, once again, coming in late here, if you'd like guys, exercises, my book, or the replay of this training on the hidden cost of business, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. The first lesson today is operating expenditure is the first lesson, the cost of running our business. How do we operate our business? It's easy to do all the fun things and visionaries and dreaming, but if we're not keen on operating expenses, keeping our business functioning, we have to look at what reoccurring expenses often become reoccurring habits. And then we do this personally. If you go back and check what subscriptions you're paying for, I promise you, you'll find hundreds, if not thousands of dollars of habits, not operating expenses. It's even worse in our business. Without intentional evaluation, doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing, and aligning our expenses and operating costs with where we want to be or better, today's necessities can become tomorrow's inefficiencies. Remember that these reoccurring expenses become reoccurring habits. We continue paying for software subscriptions, vendors, or processes simply because that's why and how we've done them before. Rather than what we need to do is measure them, whether they continue to create value or not. Every reoccurring expense deserves reoccurring evaluation. Create a system to spend a minimum amount of time studying reoccurring expenses. Growth comes from intentional spending, not automatic spending. And it's too easy today to get caught into the automatic spending. What we want to do is make sure that we have a process, a system, a framework to review reoccurring expenses. Have a separate operating expense sheet listing out all reoccurring expenses. Have your accountant, bookkeeper, CPA, tax attorney review all recurring expenses and ask whether each of these expenses creates a measurable value or not. We need to make sure that we automate, we delegate, or eliminate. The ADE, automate, delegate, or eliminate expenses that no longer support the alignment in our divine direction or the growth that we've already occurred. So when we look to see how we're operating expenses, we truly now can see the emotional expense of habits, of what are we paying just because we're not paying attention or giving intention to that which we desire. If anybody would like an exercise on operating expenses and utilizing the habit of expenses, email me, david@themeltzer.com. Lesson number two, capital expenditures. Not only do we have to look at our reoccurring expenditures and operating expenses, but look to see how we're investing in our future. And in this capital expenditure, great businesses are not built by minimizing investment. So many companies and leaders minimize their expenditure in the wrong place. They're paying for those reoccurring expenditures and not investing in a capital expenditure. They are built by making investments that appreciate over time. Investments in what they do, investments in what they say, investments in what they believe, feel, and where they're what seemingly being their losses are truly an investment. For example, too many people don't invest in technology or don't invest in technology in the right place. They don't invest in intellectual property. They don't invest in their employees, in development. They don't invest into talent acquisition, talent development, or talent retention. Three of the biggest losses that people make as far as capital expenditure goes. Or they don't invest in infrastructure that may reduce profits today while significantly increasing enterprise value tomorrow. One of the pressures that occurs with capital expenditure investing in our future is that our teams, our managers, our leaders, they don't see the long-term success that's created or the long-term value that's created because they, no matter what, are living paycheck to paycheck. They just see what they make and they don't realize you're investing not only in the company's future, but their future. Because 80% of business would bankrupt you. It's breaking you even or losing you money. So the better question isn't whether we can afford an investment. It's whether that investment will strengthen our business, our brand, or our capabilities aligned in our divine direction over a period of time, aligned with your timing and risk tolerance. These are the questions that make the difference in capital expenditure and, of course, our operating expenditures. We need to evaluate investments based on long-term appreciation. Long-term appreciation aligned with the time that we're willing to make the investment and the risk that we're willing to take. We also need to prioritize. We need to prioritize our assets because it is the assets that will create the interest. And if we can create exponential interest, and if we can create exponential interest tax-free, the compounding value will create a generational value to the company. Making intentional investments aligned with our long-term vision, our timing and risk tolerance, is the key to investing in our future. Even though our teams, leagues, and organizations may not appreciate what we're doing for them when we make these capital expenditures, if you would like a training on capital expenditures or the operating expenditures, just email me, David means beloved, at D is my first initial, Meltzer means servant. Let me be your beloved servant, David, at dmeltzer.com, pinned there right below. The third lesson, revenue and finance expenditure. Revenue and finance expenditure is our growing factor of profitability. Revenue without profitability creates the illusion of success. When I was a CEO of a public company, there was so much pressure from the board to generate revenue. We need to show revenue. We need to show revenue. I'm like, why don't we just buy dollars and take a 0.01% loss on the dollars? It would be a lot safer than, you know, generating worthless revenue that has huge losses connected to it. Why not just minimize our losses and buy dollars with dollars and create revenue for the street? Because it's merely an illusion. If revenue without profitability creates this illusion of success, likewise, access to capital without discipline in the devotional divine direction creates a dependency instead of an opportunity. And so we can be and create void shortages and obstacles that become a consistent draw or loss on our revenue and, most importantly, our profitability. So many businesses double their revenue too quickly, but they sacrifice their margins through excessive acquisition costs or exceeding vendor costs or sourcing costs or distribution costs, partnerships, channel partnerships, while other businesses take this inexpensive debt without calculating its long-term impact. Knowing your timing and risk tolerance to understand profitability is an essential way to generate the correct revenue. Our objective isn't simply to grow revenue. It's to grow profitable revenue while ensuring that every dollar of capital creates greater opportunity than its cost, but is also aligned with our timing and risk tolerance. When we measure customer lifetime value, not just top line revenue, we can now associate the profitability quotient into our decision-making process. We want to calculate the lifetime cost of our financial decisions. We had a company that was a helmet company, and an extraordinary CEO went to Harvard and to Columbia, and was a football player, and he took a decision to take in $40 million. The deal was a spiral deal, and this short-term win that appeased everybody's ego, from his to the board to anyone else's, created a situation that not only did they cram down his and his family and friend shares to zero, but also voted him off the board. This was a very costly decision. We need to focus in on profitability, align with our timing and risk tolerance before pursuing growth at any cost. If you would like the revenue and finance expenditure training guides or the replay, David at dmeltzer.com. David at dmeltzer.com. The fourth lesson, the emotional expenditure. This is the ultimate hidden cost of every decision. Every poor financial decision begins before money is ever spent. It begins with the unchecked emotional expense, the emotional state. so many times, especially in talent acquisition, talent development, and talent retention, we make decisions to hire too quickly because we're afraid of falling behind. We overpay because our ego wants to win. We delay investing because scarcity convinces us to play small. We avoid moving on from an employee because they seem to generate a lot of revenue, or they know what they're talking about or know what they're doing. All of these different things and many, many more, we need to create an emotional expense column. It is the response to the reaction to fear, our egos trying to defend for us, prove something to someone, or control the situation. We're impatient. We compare the thief of joy with other companies and people. We harbor resentment and guilt. And then this need to defend, control, and prove quietly taxes every business decision. The emotional expenditure is the ultimate hidden cost that influences every other expenditure that we previously have mentioned in the last three lessons. We consistently need to identify the emotions driving our major decisions. We need to look and see that, are we making these decisions on emotions for logical reasons, or are we aligning capability? Are we aligning capability on what's doing well today, what's stable, what we think is going to do well in the future, and our timing and risk tolerance? When we identify the emotions that are driving the decisions, when we identify whether we're automatically reacting to with a need of defense, proof, or control, we now can logically align capability and move forward, minimizing the emotional expense column. If you don't have an emotional expense column, you will never know the efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success potential that you have. Every employee of mine, every partner, associate, client of mine has a number directed towards an hourly rate of how much emotional expense, not just emotional expense of the conversations that I have with these people or circumstances, but the impact that it has on me after or before, and then even the impact that it has on others. So I had one of my most, what I thought was profitable employees for over a decade, never understood the expense that he caused on the the expense that he caused for people not coming to work for us because he was a dick, people that did not develop correctly because he was a dick, and the people that left. It was millions of dollars of loss. And we've had employees leave because they're not happy, because someone has created an emotional expense to that employee and then carried over to the company. Tragic losses, it's so difficult. And these people have no clue, nor are they capable of having a clue, because their ego has a need to prove something or defend themselves or control. And all they see is the short-term compensation that they get, without understanding the big picture of what's going on. So it's very important that we identify through an emotional expense column the before, during, and after expenditures of expense for all people, places, things, circumstances, events, partners, vendors, channel partners, associates, all of these different people. So we need to pause before making emotional charge commitments as well. We get very excited and we forget to do one of the biggest emotional expenses. We forget to do our vetting process. So we get very excited when people hang a big carrot in front of us without pausing, without stopping, dropping, and rolling, without understanding the emotional side of what's going on and vet. It's okay. Trusting is vetting. I'm going to repeat that. Trusting people is vetting them. When you ask uncomfortable questions with confidence, when you ask questions or you make statements that are uncomfortable, calling people out on their bullshit, you actually are vetting and trusting at the same time, because people that trust us will not be offended and will be able to answer the call of the representations that people make. And if they don't trust you and you don't trust them, then they'll have a need to be offended and separate, inferior, superior. And you're saving yourself by finding these people out and asking uncomfortable questions, because you trust someone that, one, you understood what they said, or two, you trust them what they represented. And so to that measure, the emotion expenditure is essential. We need to create awareness before creating action. And this awareness through trusting and vetting will help to assist in later success. Most times when we vet someone, it's a miscommunication of what someone intended to say or thought that they said, or it was intended to be heard and wasn't heard that way, or it was thought to be heard that way. So if we're not using a system of trusting and vetting, of understanding emotional expenditure, this hidden cost, and putting an hourly rate to it so that we say, okay, we spent an hour worrying about this because of you, and I'm $1,000 an hour. During it, this is what you cost us on all these areas. This many hours was spent or lost in actual hard costs. And then on the other side, on those that have left us. So the equation of the emotional expenditure is the biggest, for me, hidden cost around. The next slide, if you want a hidden cost of emotional expense, how to deal with the emotional expense column, exercises, guides, if you'd like the replay to go back over the first four lessons so far or all six, just email me, David@dmeltzer.com, David@dmeltzer.com. The fifth lesson, the equation of results. There's an equation that is hidden of why you are where you want to be or not, why you're interfering with where you want to be or not. Every business outcome begins with the way we think. Better thinking produces better perceptions. Better perceptions creates better meanings. Better meanings create better intentions of what we do, say, think, feel, and believe. And better intentions create better behaviors. And better behaviors produces better financial outcomes. But you can't attach to the outcomes. You can't put these numbers and dates on everything, because those are a linear man-made construct. You can't control time. You can't control time. You can't defend it or prove it either. So when we put pressure or interference on ourselves by, we need to make $1 million by the end of the month, all we're doing is creating more resistance, because as time moves forward, especially in the exponentiality and compounding impact that finances have, you're always going to be creating more resistance, because you have less time. The minute you decide you want to make $1 million by the end of the month, the instant afterwards, you have 1 second less and you haven't made any money. So now you have to make $1 million in less than a month. And then a week goes by, and even though you're on track in a compounding analysis of getting to over $1 million by the end of the month, you now have a greater resistance, because that's not how pipelines and revenue flows in a direct framework of time. I've seen so many different leaders face the same challenge. So many react emotionally and make impulsive decisions, while others change their thinking, their perception, their meaning, their intention, and their behaviors. And they create both of these types of leaders completely different results simply by knowing the formula of results. When I was teaching this to a company in the last month, was with Nick Saban, and I came backstage and he looked at me and he said, you know, it's so interesting. I just couldn't help but think about when I started coaching. All I wanted was results. I just wanted to win. I just wanted to win championships. It wasn't until I changed the way that I thought, perceived, gave meaning to my job, changed my intentions and behaviors to building champions, saving all of the emotional connection and creating the results formula. All I care about and cared about then was building 85 young champions, because champions win championships. You need to build champions within your organization. You need to build champions within your vendors, associates. You need to build champions all around you. You need to empower others to empower others to make a lot of money for the sake of helping others and having fun. Every result flows the same sequence. Thought creates perception. Perception creates meaning. Meaning keeps behaviors. And those behaviors will guarantee you a result that's equal to or better than what you desired in your divine direction. This is the trajectory regulator of divinity, of devotional behavior, which creates divine results or better. Analyzing these challenges that limits our thoughts, or limits our perception, or limits our meaning, or misaligns our meaning, or impacts our intentions and even our behaviors. When we can analyze what's interfering with that, understanding the meaning and intentions, they represent our self-identity, and you never will overachieve your own self-image, your own self-identity. We need to separate in our own thoughts the difference between perception and what we're doing now, our reality. When we can separate it, we can find where meaning lies and intention lies and behaviors are aligned with or interfering with where we want to be or better. We are constantly looking for improvement in each and every step of the result formula. We need to improve each and every one of these every single day by categorizing what we're doing, saying, thinking, feeling, believing, what we're categorizing our perceptions and meaning, categorizing our behaviors. Is this aligned with where I want to be or better, or is this interfering with it? And if it's interfering with it, we need to stop trying to overanalyze it, go over it, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, deny it. We just need to stop. We need to recollect, remind, and remember with our source, our God, whatever you believe that's bigger than you and loves you more than your mom. You need to get to center, to ease, dissipate, dissolve, disappear the dis-ease, so that we can roll in our divine directions. If anyone would like the notes, guides, exercises, or replay of the entire training today, if anybody would like the exercises about the result formula and studying how to get to where you want to be or better, remember the beloved servant. David means beloved. At D is my first initial. Meltzer means servant. Come, please email me. It's free. Sign my book, send it to you, pay for shipping. Just make the request. David@dmeltzer.com, pinned there right below. Would love to be of service and of value. The final lesson of the hidden costs in business is a mechanism that has changed my life. It's called the cancel, clear, connect. This is the filter. It's the leader's filter to success, filtering out, elevating awareness of the interfering circumstances, events, people that are elevating the hidden costs of doing business. Great leaders don't eliminate emotion. They prevent emotion from controlling, defending, and proving their position. Before we approve big, major decisions, investments, hiring key executives, entering a big partnership, we need to identify and pause enough to eliminate the interference before we make the decision. Because once the decision is made, instantly, once an agreement is made, instantly, oral, written, implied, with even consideration with payment, time, emotion, and value changes. Which is why the go, no-go plan is essential, because it allows us to take our time and align, but also to utilize the three no rule to make sure that we give people permission to adjust, to change their mind, so they don't waste our time. See, most people waste your time because you don't allow them to change their mind, because you're unreasonable in how decisions are made or agreements are confirmed. A go-no-go plan allows you, for example, to say, look, I will call you. We agreed upon calling you Thursday at 4 o'clock p.m. And when you call at 4 o'clock p.m., time, emotion, and value has changed since you made that agreement. But now, if they don't answer or they blow you off or they give you a lame excuse, you can call back at 9 a.m. Friday saying, hey, you told me to call you at 4 p.m. And there's no question, when should I call back? I don't want to bother them. You know why you don't want to bother them? Because you don't want to know. You don't want to know whether they changed their mind. You don't want to know they changed their mind and now have a different term, or maybe changed their mind and were too afraid to say no to you in person and changed their mind. Now they're too afraid to say no on the phone or email or text. Time, emotion, and value changes. So you can use the three no rule. Because on the third time, when you call a Monday morning and they don't answer, have a lame excuse or whatever, all you got to do is say, look, it's obviously not the right time. When it is, let me know. And 50% of the people will never call you back, which means they had no intention. They were just afraid to tell you no, or time, circumstances, events, value, and emotion has changed. But guess what? 50%. That's a real value, by the way. You know how much time you waste chasing people that are never going to say yes? I'm going to repeat that. Do you know how much time you waste chasing people that are never going to say yes? But the other thing that saves time, emotion, and value for you is it accelerates people that are truly interested, but just couldn't prioritize you because time, emotion, and value has changed. And so instead of wasting our time with negative thoughts, interfering thoughts, negative responses to the reaction to fear and uncertainty of the person saying no, when those thoughts come up, we just say cancel. And if they keep on coming up, we say clear. And so we want to remove this interference with every significant decision becomes stronger when we can create a space between the stimulus of that decision and the response to it. And so as we cancel and identify the fear, the ego, the scarcity, the emotional story influencing the decision, cancel. Or what we do say, think, feel, and believe, cancel. There's so many times that, you know, my greatest example is always taking a test. There's this thing called the rules of perpetuity. And I just, for whatever reason, had interference learning it. It's the life and being within 21 years and trusting a state law. And I just, you know how it is, you just can't learn it. You get more and more frustrated, which just also makes it even more difficult to just not learn. And so I was so worried that the rules of perpetuity would be on my test. You know what the first question on the trust in the state's exam was? The rules of perpetuity. Because I didn't cancel it. I didn't clear it from my subconscious. I literally got in my own way and manifested worrying about what I didn't want. I attracted what I didn't want and wasted all that emotional expense. To prove this, 30 years later, I told myself I can learn the rules of perpetuity. And I went online and studied for about 15 minutes the rules of perpetuity, which is a life and being in 21 years and trusted estate law. And then I got a test, practice test, and said, please give me a practice question about the rules in perpetuity. And I got it right. 30 years after studying trust and estates law, I now was somehow able to get it right. Well, not only is knowledge not power today, and I could have got the answer anyway from ChatGPT, but I gained a greater value in the wisdom of canceling out what I don't want, clearing my subconscious mind for the things that are repetitive. The 80% of the thoughts that I have are repetitive and negative. I'm clearing those out, making room, making space for the positive ones, the aligned ones with my divine direction. The final one is really woo-woo, and it is probably the most powerful when we talk about emotions and hidden costs of emotions, and it's connecting. And like I said, I will send you the Cancel Clear Connect guide, which is in Connected to Goodness, my book, which I'll sign, send a copy to you. All you need to do is email me, david@dmeltzer.com. I'm happy to send that to you. But connecting is when, you know, we've canceled it a ton of times. It keeps coming back because it's part of our subconscious. We've cleared it out of our subconscious mind. But we start to realize that it's part of an unconscious competency. It's part of a genetic and energetic inheritance that we need to work on. And it may take for years to shift our quantum being, to shift our energy, our frequency, so that it finally dissolves, disappears, and leaves us. So this is what I do when I have a genetic and energetic inheritance that is creating hidden costs in my life and business. I picture that which I can't get rid of in my mind's eye. It could be a person, place, thing, circumstance, test question, whatever it is that inherently within my quantum being is genetic and energetic inheritance. So I picture that in my mind's eye. And I start to change my thoughts, perception, meaning, intention for that. I'm finding the light. And when I can find the lesson in it, knowing that every problem, even ones that I've inherited genetically and energetically, already has a solution in it. It's just a lapse of time before it becomes a resolution, a resolution. I find that lesson, that light. And with my eyes closed, with nobody around me, because they'll think I'm nuts, with my eyes closed, I take that lesson, that light, and I cover it all over that person, place, thing, circumstance, and event until all I see is a ball of light covering that quantum problem, that genetic and energetic inheritance. Then in my mind's eye, the same mind's eye, over on the other side, I think about what I love the most. Could be my family, my health, my sleep, could be the Bananas Fosters, whatever you love the most. And that one's quite easy. You find the light in what you love the most and you cover it there. That bright, bright, bright light. I now take it. I cover up the other light that's covering up what's bugging me the most, the genetic and energetic inheritance. And now I have one big ball of what I can't get rid of by canceling, clearing, and what I love the most. And now I have this big ball of light in front of me, and I take it in my mind's eye with my eyes closed with nobody around because they think I'm crazy. And I put it over me. Now I'm in the big ball with light. Is bothering me, bugging me, genetic and energetic inheritance, and what the other light is of it. So easy to love and find. And then me, we're in a one big ball together, and I hold myself there until I feel energy shift. So years and years ago, when a neighbor of mine committed fraud on me, and I could not clear it from my unconscious competency, it took me 9 years before my energy matched what I did, said, think, and believe. My energy actually matched it. I did get butterflies in my stomach and a cringe when I saw him. I actually prayed for his happiness and meant it. Prayed for his happiness and felt it and believed it. The energy had shifted. I had activated through the epigenetic layer of my genetics, the energetic and genetic inheritance that I had that was causing me so much interference and storing that trauma. I had released it. Had dissipated and dissolved, but it took me 9 years till it was all gone. But well worth the time of connecting, Cancel Clear Connect will change your conscious, subconscious, and unconscious mind. It will align you in your divine direction. It will allow you to live at ease and identify and create awareness to the dis-ease. It will allow you to separate facts from feelings, separate probability from possibility, and remove emotional interference or disease. You need to reconnect, remember, recollect, remind with our values, our vision, with the people that we serve, then make our decision. Once again, if you would like the Cancel Clear Connect exercise or my book, Connected to Goodness, which is in there, or the exercises and guides from Cancel Clear Connect from today, or the replay of this training, email your beloved servant. David means beloved. It's pinned right there. At D is my first initial. Meltzer means servant. David at dmeltzer.com. Let me be that beloved servant. Most entrepreneurs believe they manage four expenditures. Exceptional leaders understand the fifth. The fifth one that influences every dollar spent and every decision made. They understand that it's more how to utilize operating expenditures, which is the cost of our business in lesson one, how capital expenditures invest in our future in lesson number two. They understand revenue and finance expenditures, the growing of profitability in lesson number three. Understand the hidden emotional expenditure column. The most hidden cost of every decision in lesson number four. They understand the equation of every result in lesson number five. They understand in lesson number six, cancel, clear, connect the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious competencies that we have, the conscious continuum that is hidden from all success. So many businesses may have identical financial statements, yet some consistently create greater value because its leaders make the decisions from a place of clarity, harmony, balance, and focus rather than emotional interference. They are at ease, better and more capable of identifying the dis-ease. Operating capital, revenue, financial expenditures will determine where money goes. Emotional expenditure determine why it goes there, for the sake of what. When we master our emotions, align it in our divine direction with devotional behavior, we naturally will improve every other expenditure that we have. This has been the Hidden Cost of Business training. If, once again, you'd like the exercises guide, my book, Connected to Goodness, any of them, the Go-No-Go Plan, the Three No Rule, any of the different pieces and places, but especially the replay of this training, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com, david@dmeltzer.com. Remember, most importantly, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.